Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Global Ports Holding third quarter trading update conference call. Today's speaker will be Mr. Emri Sayan, CEO, and Ms. Feather Ildikaoglu, CFO. I'll now hand over to your host, Mr. Emri Sayan. Sir, please go ahead.
Thank you. Welcome everyone to this quarter's call. Let me start by giving you the financial and operational highlights. I will start by going over the numbers first. When we look at the numbers, we see that we actually had a very strong volume growth in Q3 and in the first 9 months of the year, both on the commercial side and also the cruise segment when we look at the passenger numbers. Unfortunately, the negative passenger growth trend in Turkish cruise ports offsets some of that. Let's start by the passenger numbers. So we see 15% growth in the first 9 months versus last year and 16% growth in Q3. This actually corresponds to 3% organic growth in all of our ports. And if we were to exclude the Turkish ports, it does correspond to double-digit growth in passenger numbers, which is great. So that, I think, underlines future potential for us. The commercial side did well as well in terms of volumes. Both the throughput and the general and bulk cargo, mostly driven by the increase in the cement business in Turkey and the steel coil business coming back in Adria. So that helped us recover from the first 2 months, the first half of the year, and now we are showing a growth of 1.6% in revenue, and more importantly, a 6.7% growth in segmental EBITDA this quarter, and the cruise and the commercial business are contributing almost 50-50 in Q3. When we go down to the consolidated EBITDA level, in the first 9 months, we are flat. In Q3, we are growing almost 11% versus last year. So, of course, I have to mention that this also has to do with the fact that we are now comparing ourselves to the second half of 2016, when we saw the impact, we started seeing the impact of the incidents in Turkey. The profit and loss number is 26% higher versus last year in Q3, and unfortunately, you know, we don't have you know, a growth number to report in the first 9 months, but the trend is positive. We have to also consider the fact that $23 million are reported for port operating rights as depreciation. This is a non-cash item. So the operational cash flow is strong at $33 million. If I move on, I'm not going to talk about net debt and the balance sheet. I will leave that to Ferda and Jan, but I want to talk a little bit about the outlook and the current trading. The trading has been pleasing, and the non-Turkish ports have continued to operate well. We were, of course, worried, as anyone else, about Barcelona, but Barcelona was not affected. And the commercial ports continue to operate well. There are two factors that are outside of our control that may impact the full year results. One of them is the project cargo import of Adria. I was mentioning this before. Unfortunately, we have still not seen any project cargo in this year up to now. We have actually some contracts and we know the projects, but it's, you know, in terms of timing, it's not predictable. The biggest project here is windmills that will go through the through our port for a windmill farm, wind farm project, energy project in Serbia. Secondly, a disappointment on our side with respect to Dubrovnik, despite the fact that we have accommodated all the amendments requested by the new local government that was elected in June. The authorities have still not signed the final concession agreement. So that, because we do not have clarity on this, we are now in an amicable resolution period, and we're doing everything we can to resolve this issue. But at this point in time, I think we have to be prudent and say that the EBITDA contribution coming from this port in 2017 may not be realized. So that's, those are the two negative effects. I also want to mention two news. One is the Lisbon, the new terminal that we built in Lisbon is now fully operational, and tomorrow we will have the inauguration, and we expect that it will have a positive effect in both passenger numbers and ancillary revenues in the port. Also, you may have heard or seen some news about Venice. The news came out in a negative tone, you know, as if there's a new restriction in Venice. But actually, I see it as positive news. First of all, that restriction was already self-imposed by the industry, so the big ships did not go into the Laguna, did not visit Venice. But the positive side of this news is now there is a move, a common understanding towards a solution for getting the big ships in, and it's basically a new location across the channel in the Laguna towards the airport site that will enable new ships, and that will certainly have a positive impact in the numbers of Venice in the future. With that, I also just want to highlight that we are continuing our push towards our strategy towards further diversifying and entering new regions such as the Caribbean and Asia. We are making good progress. I'm now very optimistic about our plans in Cuba. This was a dream when I joined the company. Now I think we have very good relations with the government. And as I said, I'm very optimistic. So I think I now want to pass it on to Ferda and Jan if they want to say a couple of things about our balance sheet and our debt structure. And then we'll be ready to answer your questions.
Hello, everybody. This is Ferda Alder. I want to go over the some balance sheet items. Net debt to EBITDA at the PLC level was $230 million as per as the Q3 numbers. Net debt to EBITDA ratio was 3 times. I'm very pleased to say that it is very parallel with the our financial policies, which communicated during the IPO process. Net debt to global demand, it was $281 million U.S. dollar. The year-end number 283 million point 83 million. It was approximately ratio is approximately 3.7 times. The differences between PLC and global Liman net debt variances come from the IPO proceeds. We are eliminate, we exclude the approximately 73 million US dollar in the global Liman level. Consolidated leverage ratio as per the global Liman Eurobond is 4.6 times. The covenant, Eurobond covenant is the 5 times, by the way. GPH, this September, 29th of September, GPH PLC has paid interim dividend approximately 17.5 million US dollar. This period capital expenditure is realized approximately 12.4 million US dollar. Considering the previous year's numbers, it's slightly higher than the previous numbers because of the renovation of the Egeport shopping mall renovation and the Port Adria investment. These investments related with the equipment and machinery.
Ferda, I just want to add that we do not expect next
yes,
year, for example, we do not expect investment at that level. Yeah.
Yes, it will be a normalized level. It means it will be realized approximately between 4 and 6 million US dollar. Maintenance capex requirement of the portfolio, current portfolio, this level.
Okay. And also, you said Global Liman Eurobond is 4.6%. It's actually 4.8% here. Did you maybe think about what it will go down to? When you said 4.6, because you told me that this number is actually going to go down at the end of the year.
Yes, because of the gross debt, according to IFRS calculation, gross debt covers the cumulative accumulated interest. So within these days, we will pay the Eurobond interest and the other interests related with the our project loans, project financing. So this number will be go down at the year end.
Okay, thank you very much. So I think at this point we are ready to receive your questions and discuss further.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now start our Q&A session. If you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding until we have our first question. We have a question from Martin Gray from Shore Capital. Please go ahead.
Morning all, Martin Brown from Shore Capital here. A couple of questions if I can just on cruise to start with. Could you just provide or confirm that since up to sort of today, I guess, that there's been what impact, if any, there has been from the ongoing issues in Catalonia for the Barcelona cruise port? Could you also provide an update on the redevelopment plans of the retail offering at Barcelona? And on Venice, do you think the announcement of the new facility and the new cruise terminal that will have to be built to take the bigger ships, will that create an opportunity for a change in the current shareholder structure and the shareholder weighting at the concession there? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Very good questions. First of all, in Barcelona, we're of course wary about social unrest in Catalonia that might have affected our numbers, especially transit calls may divert if there's a social unrest in a city, as you know. This fortunately did not happen, and therefore in Q3 we have almost no impact from what's going on in Catalonia, and our relationships with the Port Authority and the mayorship. Everything is going in a normal way, the way it used to. So far, no impact. And to tell the truth, I do not expect. I mean, of course, it's very hard to talk about these things. You never know what's going to happen. But I do. If you were to ask me what my expectations are, I do not expect a big impact from Barcelona if things go this way. About the retail project in Barcelona, we have actually now agreed and started putting together a plan with a global advisor in travel retail. And this advisor has done a number of very big projects on the airport side when it comes to retail and passenger experience. And they have had some experience with ferry terminals and some cruise terminals. But I also have to say that, you know, we are kind of doing frontier work here. It's really the first time that we will lay out kind of the foundation and the rules for doing retail in a big cruise terminal. With them. And in fact, a meeting is taking place today in Lisbon right after, before the inauguration of the new terminal, because obviously Lisbon cruise terminal would be next in line for our plan, so we're going to look into that as well. For Venice, the first part of your question was, will there be a new structure, a new pier for big ships to come, and the answer is yes. So that will be either a part of the existing concession in terms of an extension of the concession, or it might be let's say a parallel concession. Therefore, it's kind of hard to answer the second part of your question, which is, will there be a change in the ownership structure? I don't think we can be sure of that at this point in time.
Okay, thank you. And just a couple of questions on commercial, if I can. In terms of the project cargo that you've signed the contract, but the timing at the moment is unclear. You've guided that if it doesn't happen this year, it could be a 1.3 million EBITDA impact. Is that the total value of the contract, or is that just what you would miss this year if the cargo?
This, I believe, is the total value that we would get from that contract and a couple smaller ones. I don't know how many exactly. Farda, do you know how many project cargo contracts you have taken into account for this?
I can say something about the EBITDA contribution. It will be approximately 1.3 and 1.5 million US dollar EBITDA contribution we are expecting from the project cargo.
Mm-hmm. And was this one project or... more than one.
I think more than one project, should be three projects, but most important one, the first part.
The windmill project?
Yes, windmill project.
Okay.
Thank you. And you mentioned about the steel coils coming through at Port Adria, and I think, if memory is right, that was due to would be coming on stream as a number of steel plants came back online. How do you have any insight as to the kind of growth in steel coil volumes you might expect in 18, given that those steel coils have only really started coming back through the port recently?
of course, we are talking to these factories in Serbia very frequently, as they are volume-wise, you know, one of our biggest clients in Port Adria. I would be wary to give a definitive answer other than the numbers are growing, because I think they don't know either. I mean, the previous forecasts they have given us last year, for example, did not come true, or it was, you know, they came true, but at a later point in time. So, you know, I am optimistic that this will. We have seen much higher numbers, let me say, in the past from these factories. But you know, I wouldn't want to utter a definitive number at the moment.
Okay, thank you. And just finally, on Port Italia, obviously we're now past the point last year when we had the negative impact from the Chinese marble investigation. How are marble volumes in Q3, and how are you expecting them to develop year on year as we look into 2018?
Antalya has done, I think, about 3% or 2.5% over last year, third quarter. And overall, in the first 9 months, we are 13% over last year. Some of this is due to, I believe, the unnatural shifts that happened last year because of the coup attempt and the marble investigation. So I wouldn't read too much into these numbers. What's important is that we were expecting, growth in, and we said actually single-digit growth in the marble business. And right now we are still seeing a double-digit growth. So I think the marble business is doing okay. And I'm also happy that it's being supported by the cement volumes going up, which is something we predicted, as you may remember, during the IPO time. And hopefully that trend will continue as Middle East starts rebuilding. So yeah, that's what I can say about the marble business. It's going okay.
Great, thank you. I'll stop my questions there and leave some space for any others, but I might come back on if depending on the questions come up. Thank you.
Sure.
Our next question is from Paul Marigold from Amiral Gestion. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello everyone. I have a question. Maybe you explained it, but it was not clear. What is the difference between Global Ports Holding and Global Lehman, since there is a net debt and EBITDA ratio of 3 for Global Ports Holding and 3.7 for Global Lehman? So if you could just explain the differences between the two companies.
Sure. Let me try to put it very simply as a non-financial person, and then if I make a mistake or if there's anything to add, then I'll turn to my financial team. Basically, the Global Lehman was what GPH was before the IPO. It's the holding company that operates. PLC, GPH PLC, is the holding company that listed in London. And for the time being, the only difference is the proceeds of the IPO sit with the PLC in London. So that company has 73 million more cash. That's the main difference. But finance team, Ferda, Jan, do you have anything to add?
No, Emre Bey, you explained very well. Considering this period, there's other than the cash, there's no big differences between PLC numbers and the Global Lehman numbers.
Okay, thanks. And just another question on the CapEx. You mentioned that the CapEx will be down next year in 2018. but if I remember well, you will have to do 66 million of capex for Dubrovnik, so including Dubrovnik capex. What
so
will be the capex for the next 2 years?
I think you're right. We are so used to talking about the capex in two parts. When we say maintenance capex, it's basically business going forward without any acquisitions and new investments into new projects. So that's what I was referring to when I said the maintenance capex level will go down because this year we have invested in Port Adria about 5 to 6 million euros for a crane and some for some social programs, plus the renovation of the shopping mall in Kuşadası. We will have, of course, some, you know, maintenance projects for next year. We have about 1.7 million a new storage facility warehouse in Antalya coming up, a little bit for Adria, but it will be back to our normal levels, which is, I believe Ferdan mentioned, around 4 to 6 million, I believe. That's the maintenance capex part. Now, depending on which project we close, there will be, of course, additional capex, but that will be on the, you know, that will be project financed, ring fenced, probably, and it will be part of our M&A M&A efforts.
Okay, perfect. Thanks. And just another question: I compute your revenues per passengers, and if I am correct, your revenue per passengers for Q3 are down. Are down in more or less every port, minus 6% for Barcelona and Malaga, minus 12% for Ege Kusadasi, minus 10% for Valletta. So how could we, is it just temporary issues or?
I'm sorry, what did you calculate? I didn't hear that part.
The revenues per passenger, per port.
The revenues per passenger per port for Q3, you mean?
Yeah, for Q3. And I see that they are down. So I would like to know why they are down.
Okay. Since our tariffs don't change that much from quarter to quarter, there must be another effect here. Can finance answer this question, please?
Barcelona should be affected from the transit passenger and turnaround passenger ratio. Total passenger numbers, although the total passenger number increased in Barcelona, the turnaround passenger, which means we charge double to the passenger, will decrease, slightly decrease. So Barcelona affected from this. One second, I'll check the others.
The only reason that I can think of for Valletta, maybe, you know, the in the ancillary revenues part in retail, they have increased cigarette prices, and that caused the revenues to go down, but the profitability remained. So the impact to EBITDA numbers was not there, and this was basically, you know, a specific thing for Valletta. But other than that, I don't expect their normal, you know, cruise revenues to go down at all.
Perfect. Thank you very much. And just one last question. For your Turkish port of Kusadasi, do you expect the revenues per passenger going up, going forward, thanks to the shopping center renovation?
I think, yes, that will have an effect. Unfortunately, right now, the passengers we get in Egeport are mostly Greek Celestial, the Greek cruise line. What Celestial does is it remains in port shorter than normal, first of all. So the time it spends in the port is shorter. And they also have inclusive ShoreX programs, meaning the passengers pay for the ShoreX when they board the ship. So both of these factors affect how much money they spend in the port. Therefore, I think the biggest impact will come when actually the European passengers start arriving again in the port with the recovery. Then we will see, then we will see a material effect coming from the renovated shopping mall more. What we have observed is that the food and beverage parts are doing okay. Those numbers are up, and that has been the positive side of the renovation. But the retail side, as I said, will have to wait a little bit more for that to be realized.
Perfect. Thank you very much for all your answers. Thank you.
We have no further questions at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding until we have further questions. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. We have a question from Alistair Gund from Barclays. Please go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yeah, sorry, it's Alistair Gund from Jupiter Asset Management, not from Barclays. I have a question about Dubrovnik. Can you just explain what this resolution period actually means? Is there some kind of legal requirement for both sides to come to a conclusion? Just explain what you think may happen.
Sure.
From here.
Sure. So there's no legal requirement for the parts to come to a conclusion. I mean, basically, you can't force people to agree on something if they don't want to, right? But there is a legal obligation to have at least 30 plus 10 days of a period where you sit down and talk to each other and try to reach an amicable resolution. And this period is minimum. So 40 days is not a set period. It's minimum 40 days. It could last longer. Hopefully we will come to a resolution at the end of this. The reason why we are in this period is because the pre-concession that was basically in effect after we signed, after we got the tender, that has not been signed within the period it was supposed to be signed. So basically we are talking to the local government, to the authorities, about resolving this and the funny thing is we have basically positively answered all their requests about, making changes to the project, about accepting local partners to the company to work with us, and we've been very accommodating, and this is quite disappointing on our side, and we will do our best. But if it doesn't work out, then we'll of course protect our interests, and there may be an arbitration process at the end of this.
Okay. I think that's probably all I need to ask at the moment. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Our next question is from James Ainley from Citi. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. So just one question remaining from me. what can you talk about what conversations you've had with the cruise lines about 2018 and their plans to potentially return to Turkey? Or is it too early to have any clear indications yet?
No, it's not actually too early. We have been obviously talking to all the cruise lines. A number of them try to keep their options open as long as possible, and told us that in terms of their itinerary planning departments and deployment departments are concerned, you know, they want to come, but with the travel warnings still there, and you know, the political tensions still there, their security departments are not really allowing them to start these itineraries. In fact, there was a very recent announcement from Royal that basically said, well, you know, at this point in time, we are closing our 2018 itineraries, and unfortunately, we will not be able to come to the Turkish ports. That we did not count on that, so that wasn't part of our plan. Even with this, I think there will be some recovery in 2018. But we have always said that our hopes are for 2019 onwards, and the positive thing is really no incidents happened since June last year, and in terms of safety, you know, in terms of incidents, whatever, you know, all of our ports are basically clean, very safe, very calm, and there are there are currently cruise ships visiting those ports. At this point, I think it's more a sentiment and a more political thing than a real threat, a real danger. And I think time will allow them to change their security settings for those ports. And from 2019 onwards, I expect ships will start coming back. That's what we plan on anyway.
And presumably if Royal Caribbean aren't coming, Norwegian, Carnival will not be coming either. Is that a fair assumption?
No, that's not necessarily the case. In fact, TUI, for example, is visiting our ports at the moment. And, those two companies have common shareholders. So, no. I mean, in fact, usually every brand makes its own decision, not at the corporate level, but at the brand level. The itineraries are done at the brand level, so that's not necessarily true.
Okay. And when, at what point would you expect to have some better visibility?
There are two points. One is obviously, like now, we are getting more visibility about 2018, and as this year has shown us, the end of the winter period, beginning of summer period is the definitive timing, and that will be May, June period. But we will know at the end of this year with, let's say, 80%, 90% probability what 2018 is going to look like. So by the end of this year, I will be able to give you a bit more, a better picture of what's going to happen for Kuşadası.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding until we have further questions. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. We have no further questions. Dear speakers, back to you for the conclusion.
All right, thank you very much. I just want to summarize that Q3 has been a very good quarter in terms of volume numbers. Now, due to continued stress in the Turkish ports, and because those ports are our most profitable ports on the cruise side, their impact has reflected, of course, to the bottom line, and we are showing at the moment flat figures, but we are in a much better position than we were at the end of first half. The commercial side is doing well. The ongoing business is performing, and both on the cargo side and the container side. The only question mark we have is on the project cargo side, which is hard to really pin down. And in terms of new projects, I'm hoping that I will be able to give you much better news by the end of this year and next year, because we are in parallel we're making progress with a number of projects at the moment. Unfortunately, there's nothing to report at this call. I think in summary, we are having, I think, a difficult year in 2017, but the good thing is our long-term strategy still stands, and we are delivering on that, and we're making good progress, and most of these problems that we're having now will turn into upsides in 2018, 19, and onwards. So thank you very much for joining the call, and as always, if you have any questions, please feel free to contact us. We'll try to answer them as in the best way possible, and if not, talk to you at the next call, which will be the closing of the year, the last quarter. Thank you.
This concludes today's conference call. Thank you all for your participation. You may now disconnect.